Welcome to
In It Together.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Courtney. And this is our podcast where we discuss mental health and self-improvement from a couple's perspective.
How's everybody doing today?
I'm doing pretty great today. And like always, happy to be here.
So what are we talking about today?
Traumatic nostalgia. And I think I had suffered from this for a very long time. And there's a name for it.
This is something we are starting to do a lot of, right? Just naming these, I don't want to say conditions.
Phenomena.
That's a probably good word for it. I know a lot of people liked our podcast that we did that we named the, I don't want to say condition, but empathy fatigue. We did a podcast on that. A lot of people loved it. Well, I'm hoping that they're going to love this as well. This is something that's near and dear to our heart as well. This is something that we've had firsthand experience with. And I think it's going to be helpful for everyone to term this and to understand how this affects us and not how you know we deal with it on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure our listeners will also connect with this.
Absolutely. I think sometimes when we go through something and we don't necessarily know what it is and we're stuck in some way of thinking or an emotion, it can kind of be freeing when all of a sudden someone says, oh, that's traumatic nostalgia that you're experiencing. It automatically, instantaneously detaches it from being something so personal that you can't get out of it, but gives you perspective, right? And that's, for me, as a neurodivergent, that's very helpful for me. Some people don't need those that context, but I feel like we do. I feel like the moment we can say, well, that's what it is, then there's a clear path of being able to move forward to say, well, what do I do with this? And then when you find yourself in a situation where this is presenting, you have a name for it. You name it to tame it, which is what we've talked about in another podcast before.
Yeah, this definitely falls in line with something we've talked about before. The Body Keeps a Score. We read that book,
yep.
And we discussed it a little bit in one of our previous podcasts. Really what it is, it's cellular memory. So when we're locked into a traumatic event, our body just responds. Now, we've talked about in length about this phenomenon or however you want to term it. But this is a little bit more specific in terms of the frozen grief syndrome, I guess we can call this,
right? Frozen grief syndrome. That sounds about right. It's literally when we idolize or we find ourselves really drawn to periods of our life in the past that were connected to trauma. I mean, they weren't good for us, but we're so connected to these periods in the past that we find ourselves longing for that. And we're kind of stuck there. It's like this traumatic nostalgia where we just cannot get out of it because it just lives within us. It's almost like, you know, that age of onset that I talk about where sometimes our brains can slowly stop developing or get stuck, if you will, right around the time of a trauma. It kind of feels a little bit similar to that. You know, I have people that say I'm constantly sad all the time and I feel like I'm depressed. It could be this. It could be just there's a part of you that is not living in your present moment that is just stuck somewhere back there. And that's why talking about this is something that I think is going to open up the eyes to a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And this happens subconsciously. It's not something that we're consciously trying to continue to relive our traumas, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? We want to get away from them. But understanding what our body does, understanding that it feels comfort in past ways of dealing with things, right? That's what our body really does. It normalizes the trauma and then kind of sets you in that path. And that's why we, you know, the healing is a journey. And we need to repave those neural pathways. The first step is to recognize it, obviously, so because we can't change anything we don't recognize. But once we recognize what it is, then we can make those active changes to rewire our brains to not fall back into these same patterns. And that's what this is all is. It's just a pattern of trauma that our body has already integrated and seen as, okay, this is where we're going to stay safe. And this is the same path we're going to take. And it tends to lead us back there.
Trauma distorts memory recall, right? So when we're trying to bring something up, it doesn't necessarily bring up everything. It distorts it. And so we get stuck with a familiarity piece of it. Our brains are constantly looking for what feels safe. And what feels safe is an avenue that you've already navigated, right? So trauma, you've been through it. You know what it was like. You know how your body felt. You know who the players were in that, what happened afterwards. So it's one of those things where your body's like, well, let me just stay there because I know how to work through those things. I already know what to expect, what's going to happen. So it's looking for what's familiar because that's what feels safe, even though it's not safe for you at all. It's not healthy for you. It stunts your emotional growth. Your emotional intelligence becomes affected by that. Your nervous system's jacked up because of it. But that's actually what happens. And the best analogy that I can give you, it's like your brain has these rose-colored glasses on because it remembers fragments of what feels comfortable, like these little blocks and bits and pieces, but then it actually outs the danger or it softens, it puts a blanket over what was really traumatic. And I see that happen a lot in a lot of my clients. And as I started to think about this podcast and how we were going to talk about it, I realized it. I was a poster child for this for a really long time. I would long for periods of our relationship. I would long for, you know, people to be there that were no longer there, that weren't healthy, things that I used to do. And I would hold on to those things instead of just letting go so that I could create newer versions, healthier memories, healthier connections with myself now and in my present time.
Yeah, it's crazy how our brain does that. It's weird once you start to recognize how this all works. It's really kind of foreign. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So it's, you know, because you love analogies, this is the analogy I can come up with, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like going down a dark alley and you're going down this dark alley and you know you're going to get mugged. But your brain is so locked into, okay, I know this is already going to happen and I'm already prepared for it, that even though you know you're going to get mugged every time you go down there, it continuously tells you to go down that same alley because you're used to it. You're comfortable with it, even though it's not good. It's not good for you. It's a horrible experience. It still continues to tell you go back down that alley because we're familiar with what's going to happen. Instead of just looking for a different path, for looking for a different avenue, right? A side street, something else to do. It just continues to direct you to what it already knows is going to happen and what is familiar, whether it's good or not. Or not good. And this can work the opposite way. So if you can force your brain to change that path and find a path that's better for you, then again, your brain will slowly shift to that experience and you can continue going down that alley or path. But it takes some work. Once you've gone down that path and it's become familiar, it's become normalized, then your brain will continuously try to lead you down that path, even though it might not be productive or good for you.
Two examples came to mind. I love analogies. Everybody needs to know this by now, okay? Analogies is the way I communicate. It's like my hieroglyphics. Like, I just get it. So this made me think of some people love to watch reruns of their favorite shows. Like, how many times have people watched Friends or Grey's Anatomy over and over? It brings this sense of comfort for the brain. They know what's going to happen. They know the relationships that they have with these characters. It's predictable. It feels like home. That's why people do that or listen to songs over and over. But then it also made me start to think about how many times we play video games as a kid. It's like, oh, I know this level. He's going to pop out right here. I know what's going to happen. We do that in our everyday life. We're looking for the levels that we know how to play and try to master them to play them better. And the reality is that as we are doing that, there are other levels that are being created. Some of the levels that we are going to play in life are just, they're not going to be our best. They're not going to be our finest. They're going to be scary. But that does not mean that we prevent ourselves from taking on something different, trying a new angle, moving towards something, right? And I think, you know, an example that I can give you is like missing home that was chaotic as a kid. It's like romanticizing it because it was connected to who you were. It was connected to maybe your culture or your identity, smells and foods and things like that. We're just always trying to stay safe, but safety does not equate to growth. And we can't grow as humans if we're hiding in a cave because we're afraid of what's going to happen and what's going to come. It reminds me of Disney or Pixar's The Croods, right? I think of that movie and the dad's like, oh, you know, he's the one in there that's got traumatic nostalgia because of all the things they've been through when everybody else is trying to just find a new path.
Yeah, that was a much better analogy than mine. But yeah, absolutely. If you've seen The Croods, that's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about. Because yeah, the dad, he was so scared of changing his routine because he was so familiar with the routine that he had established, right? That he thought it kept him safe. He thought that it kept him safer to, even though, you know, the daughter had already told him, hey, the world's ending and we need to move from our place. He was so tied into, okay, this is what I know is safe, that even though it wasn't or was becoming even unsafer at the moment, he just was so reluctant to change. And that's exactly what our brains do, right? Our brains, even though there's obvious dangers ahead, because all it knows is, okay, this is what we've done before and this is what's safe to us, even though it isn't safe, it'll continue to push you down that path. And that's what we have to understand. And once we understand that concept, that's when we can start working to get past this. I don't want to say phenomenon, but help me out.
It's a behavior.
Behavior. Thank you. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's a behavior, right? So I heard someone say the other day, like, if we can find ourselves overthinking all the bad, we can overthink all the good. It's just a transfer of behavior. And I think, I mean, if you think about as humans and what we're going through, we're all stuck in behaviors right now, which is why nothing is getting better in this world, because it's just one poor behavior after another, because people are afraid of change, because people are afraid of things that doesn't align with maybe, you know, what they think things should be. But we have to have forward movement, and we can only do that when we say, you know what, we don't know what's ahead of us. We know this isn't working anymore, but I have confidence that we're going to find that we can create it. And fear is what's behind traumatic nostalgia. That is what our brains conditioned to do. Keep us afraid, because that will keep them safe. But we are not benefiting from that whatsoever. Fear is, like, you've taught me this. There's nothing wrong with having fear. The difference is if you let fear drive your vehicle, you ain't going to get anywhere. You have to learn to have fear as your co-pilot or coexist with you, where you're like, yeah, I hear you and I see you. And I don't think this is anything we really need to be that afraid of, because logically X, Y, and Z. So take a step back. It's just behavior. If you can analyze your thoughts and take a few minutes to say, geez, where did this thought come from? When you told me about that, like, here, I'm the trauma counselor over here, coach over here. And you're like, you know, you don't have any formal training, but you were the one to teach me, like, hey, you need to start asking yourself some questions. You know, you were doing that as a young kid. That's what develops your self-awareness. That's what helps you to understand what you might be longing for, what you're missing out on, is you interview yourself. We talk so much to other people and are so curious about what's going on in their life, like stupid sitcoms and reality shows that we watch. If we just had that same level of curiosity for ourselves, we can move through things like nostalgic pain or frozen grief or whatever it is that we're suffering with. And that's the issue. We are so externally driven by what looks, ooh, pretty to the eye, instead of just reflecting back onto ourselves. And we could be so much better as a society.
Yeah, and this keeps us in, like, the toxic relationships, right? It keeps us in the relationship of parents, you know, siblings, or coworkers, or romantic relationships. It keeps us here because, again, if you're stuck in this behavior, then what you're doing is you're dancing with the devil you know. That's like the old saying, right? It's better to dance with the devil you know. It's still the devil. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting any better. And that's what we need to break through. We need to break through that and start to rewire our brains to understand that, hey, just because it's comfortable for us doesn't mean it's healthy for us.
When you just said that, it was just like, whoa, it's almost worse. It's like, yeah, I know something really horrific's going to happen down there, and I know I'm going to be in pain because of it, but here I go. It just does not make sense. Like, the more you said that, it's almost worse. It's like being cognizant of something terrible that you do that hurts someone's feelings. And you're like, well, I already know what's going to happen. So I'm just going to keep hurting their feelings because I already know that. It's something that, again, it's just behavior. And behavior is just a culmination of small action steps and thought processes that you put together and then you act them out. Behavior is spoken language somatically through the body. And this is why it's so important that we assess, like, before we speak, before we act, that power of pause, which, you know, we should talk about in another podcast, is how powerful that can be, what that looks like, how to start training your brain to just say, hold on a second. You know, if you have to put a stop sign up at every little, before a task and after a task, before you open your mouth, before, you know, before you do something, before you think about something, eventually you teach your brain to pause all on its own. Just like our brains have learned the capacity to understand language, what did it take? Repetition. Over and over in practice. That is how a brain learns. So you can't just have a thought of, I don't want to think about the past anymore and be stuck there because that hurts, and think that that's enough to change it. That's just a thought. What behavioral steps are you going to put in place behind that to prevent yourself? You know, so when you start thinking back on something, you're like, oh, you know, it was the good old times. We did all these. Stop. If they were such the great good old times, we would not be here feeling like we need to lament on them, because right now, you know, we feel a certain way. It's just using that deductive reasoning skills. And I think many of us struggle with, to be honest, I struggled with that for a long time. But, you know, I feel like this is something that we need to talk more about, because this is what's going to change everything if we can do it.
Yeah, all behavior can be changed. And it's up to you to have the willingness and the emotional strength to make those changes. And you're 100% right with the it's all nostalgic, right? We like you said, we put on the rose-colored glasses and find the instances of, well, oh, when where I was happy then, in their short glimpses. And you can still be happy and still be safe and productive. You can find happiness in that and find the better path where you're going to be safer, more productive, a better person, a better version of yourself, and still have those moments of happiness, find those moments of happiness, find those moments of joy, and still and be in a better path, opposed to, like you said, reminiscing on past traumas that are not going to bring you to a better place.
And when you're reminiscing on it, all you're doing is manifesting a neural, you know, chemical cocktail of crap that your body's going to be flooded with, instead of just saying, okay, like, let's say, for example, you miss the good old days of being with your spouse before you had all these responsibilities and you just had fun together. You can sit there and lament over that, or you can look at your spouse and say, what the heck? Let's go out. Let's go for a walk. Let's go to the movies together. Like, you can just recreate it healthier, though. I'm not saying all situations are like that, but if you sit down and you ask yourself, I'm sure you can find a few instances where you can create happiness for yourself that can last, that you don't have to lament over, that you don't have to romanticize, right? It's continued happiness. And I think, like, when I first started to think about this and where that came from, I think that's where a lot of my prolonged struggles came from, as I lived so, you know, back into this place that there was nothing to romanticize. There was nothing that was fantastic about it. The only thing that I was romanticizing was my own ass ignorance, because it kept me safe from all the things I didn't want to have to see. So am I really romanticizing the past, or just being stupid? Like, for me, I mean, again, this is me, and I'm just being real raw and relatable right now, because I know someone's going to hear that and be like, oh, but I know someone's going to hear that and be like, that's me. I'd rather be me. And honestly, that's how I feel. I think I romanticize just not being, you know, aware.
Yeah. And you can, you're free to reinvent yourself. And that's what we're really preaching, is the ability to reinvent yourself and really be the best version of yourself that you can be. And that takes work. That takes the willingness and making those choices, those active choices to make change. And it's hard, but understanding this, understanding when you're stuck in frozen grief is the first step to reinventing the person you want to be. You have to be able to look back and say, let me stop romanticizing my experiences, my traumas. Let me start moving forward into the person that I want to be. And that's an important decision that you have to make. And like everything in life, like I've said to you, everything is a choice. And once we choose to be that better version, then we take that journey. But if you're continuously stuck in this traumatic nostalgia, then you're allowing your brain, your traumatic experiences to continue to guide you down that dark alley that you know is going to lead you down that wrong path. But you have to make that conscious choice to change.
So if you're listening and you're like, I love this, and you like our content, and you want to help support us and support the podcast and the episodes, we actually have a Patreon, and I'm going to link it below in our episode, where you can come and help join and support the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely, you guys. I hope you got something out of this, and I hope you come away with it a little bit more knowledgeable, a little bit more ready to make the jump to a new journey. Till next time.
So guys, if you aren't following me already, you can find me on TikTok at ask.courtney, on Instagram at ask_courtney_, and on YouTube at ask_courtney. And if you'd like to be a guest on a future podcast, you can reach us at podcast@epiphanymedia.com.
We'd love to hear your stories, guys, so make sure to reach out. And as always, we're all in this together, so stay safe.
Remember, there's no shame in asking for help.
Till next time.